I had been seeking the Lord, and again, this is the life of a minister. The Lord gave me a message for this morning, I thought. And then as the week went on, the Lord gave me another message. And as this Sunday was approaching, I was, Lord, what is it you want for this morning? And this is what I believe the Lord would have us to share. Comfort ye my people. Like us to read out of the 40th chapter of Isaiah this morning, but to give a little preface, a little background of what was going on. The children of Israel had been taken into captivity into Babylon, if you recall your Bible history. And a lot of it had been due because of their disobedience and their rebellion against God. And so they had been taken captive into Babylon. They were there for 70 years in captivity. And as it got approached the time that God was going to bring them deliverance, the message was given to the prophet, "Comfort ye my people." He had a message of comfort that he sent to the children of Israel. They had been dwelling in Babylon. They were tired. They were worn out. I'm sure they were discouraged. And it was this, and we reflected on this a few weeks ago briefly, but over in Psalm 137, verse 1 and 2, the psalm said, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down." This was the condition of these children of Israel that were in captivity. "We sat down by the river of Babylon, and we wept when we remembered Zion." In other words, we thought about home. And we're here in Babylon, away from where the temple is, away from Jerusalem, away from everything that it was our identity. We lost that. And now we're in Babylon. We sat down by the river and we wept and the tears came. And we hung our harp on the willows in the midst thereof. In other words, we can't sing a song. They said, "Sing us a song of your homeland." And they said, "How can we sing a song in a strange land? We hung our harps up." You know, the Lord doesn't want us to hang our harps up this morning. Do you know that there are a lot of troubles and difficulties in life, and the enemy would like us to hang our harps up? Well, look how bad things are. Look how difficult life is. Look at the affliction and the persecution, and look at family situations, and look at those that have gone away, and we can just hang our harps up and we can sit down and weep. Do you know that we have reason to rejoice this morning? The Lord does not want us to hang our harps up, but that was the condition. And we read here in the 40th chapter, it was a dual prophecy, as often is found in the prophets. There was a very direct fulfillment. This was written to them in Babylon, and God was letting them know, "Your captivity is almost over. I'm about to bring deliverance." But the 40th chapter is also a prophecy. It's a dual fulfillment, dual prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. And that is very clear if you read through the 40th chapter. And so the message came to the prophet Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And the prophecy went on. You know, there have been different prophecies and different messages to God's people through time. Even after the coming of Christ, we think about the 1500s. What was the primary message of the 1500s? By way of Martin Luther, it was "the just shall live by faith." Coming out of the darkness of the Roman Catholic Church, a time of spiritual darkness, the message was "the just shall live by faith." And then the message of the 1700s was "be filled with the Holy Spirit." Perfect love of God, a life of consecration. That was the 1700s. In the late 1800s, the message was unity of God's people. The Lord is, God is not a polygamist. Those are my words. But God is not a polygamist. He does not want his people to be divided in all the sects and the creeds of men, but he wants us to come together and be one. That was one of the primary messages of the 1800s. But what is the message of today? What is the message of today? Do you know we don't want to lose any one of those messages? One of the messages of this time, and I know the Lord has personally burdened me with it over and over and over, and that is time is running out. Time is short. Prepare to meet God. That is one of the messages of this time. But there is another message that I believe the Lord is continuing to give to His people, and that is a message of consolation. Comfort ye my people, he told the prophet. A number of years ago, someone was sitting, I still remember, sitting in our living room. It was an older brother. And he was saying, it seems like a lot of the preaching anymore is messages of encouragement. Now, there still needs to be messages of salvation. There still need to be messages of consecration. There still need to be messages of what it means to live a holy life. If we lose that, we're not going to be ready to meet God. So those messages are still relevant and current. But he was almost a little bit, I think I could sense, almost bemoaning that it seems like that everywhere we go in all the different congregations, there's a lot of encouraging messages, almost as if that wasn't good. But you know, the Lord knows what he's doing. There is a reason the Lord is sending messages of encouragement, because we need comfort. It's getting dark out there, saints. It's getting dark. There's a lot of heartache, and there's a lot of grief, and there is a need for us to keep our eyes on the goal and be comforted lest we lose our hope. I don't want to lose my hope this morning. I don't want to get to the place that I hang my harp on the willow tree and say, I can't sing a song of praise and rejoicing anymore. And I believe that one in the darkness of time that the Lord is still saying, I want you to comfort my people. I want you to remind them that the end is almost nigh. You know, for God's people, that's not something to be afraid of. I am waiting, as the song says. I am longing. I am looking forward with anticipation to the coming back of the Lord. And I know those of you that are younger may think, well, can he hold off just a little bit and let me live a little bit alive first? I understand that as a young person, but I'll tell you, the older I get, the more I am waiting with great anticipation for the coming back of the Lord. And yet, until he comes, he wants us to keep our hope bright. No matter how dark our world gets, and I believe that this is one of the primary messages of our time, is one of comfort and encouragement. Comfort ye my people. There is in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, but he that prophesieth, or he that preaches, speaks unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. It's one of the purposes of preaching, is to comfort and to edify. Well, what are we going to be comforted with this morning? The scripture tells us where we find some of our chief comfort and consolation. And yes, the Holy Spirit is known as what? The Comforter. The Holy Spirit came to personalize in our troubles of life. The Holy Spirit came to be a comforter to us. But in Romans 15:5 or 15:4, he said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scripture, we might have hope. Now, what scripture were they talking about? Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John probably weren't even written through. I mean, some of those were written later. They were talking about the prophecies. They were talking about the coming of Christ. They were talking about the books of the Old Testament, those scriptures that gave them hope for today. And they said, in those scriptures, we find comfort and hope. Do you know, for us today, we can turn to the New Testament, and it's in the scripture that we can find hope. This is one of the reasons it's important for us to read our Bibles. It's one of the reasons it's important for us to come together and forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is and will be, especially as you see the day approaching. Because we need to find a place of encouraging one another. That you can make it. You can make it. The Lord's going to be faithful to you. You might be struggling. You might be in affliction. Temptation might seem great, but you can make it because we turn to the Word of God and we find His promises. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Be comforted by the Scripture. That time when it's night and the Lord brings a Scripture to your heart, and it's just like a ray of light. It inspires with the darkness, and sometimes it comes by way of a song that when it's all dark and there's a song that comes, and it's just like that ray of light penetrates the darkness and the hopelessness that God is still there. He is still alive. It's not all lost. God is still in control. Paul asked it this way, have God cast away His people? This morning, has God cast away His people? God forbid. That was his response. God forbid. God has not cast away His people. Comfort ye my people. God is still hearing the prayers of His saints. God is still an ever-present help. He's still a help in time of trouble. Comfort ye my people. So what is, we look at the current conditions of our world and it does look hopeless. We look at people's lives that have given themselves to sin. For those that have walked away from truth, and we say, is there any hope? Is there any hope? Yes, there is still hope. Because as long as there is life, there is a Holy Spirit that is dealing and drawing people, giving people another opportunity. Over in Romans 5, verse 20, where sin abounded. Now, isn't that discouraging when we look at the sin that's all around us? Our world is evil. There is gross wickedness in our world. Do you know, saints, it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. If you think it's as bad as it can get, there is more room for more evil. It's going to get worse until the Lord comes back. So where's that going to find us? As the world, as the temptations get stronger, as the influences of the world get stronger, as it gets darker, where's that going to leave us? Where sin abounded, thank the Lord that Scripture didn't stop there, but where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more abound in your life this morning. You say, I don't know how I can overcome. No, there is a greater power than sin today. There is a greater power than the enemy. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In other words, he was lifted up in men's lives, but through the coming of Jesus Christ, that power was broken. That is my hope in my life, and that is my hope for those that we're praying for, that there is a greater power if they will just submit to it. That no longer do we have to live in a condition that we say, but the devil made me do it. No, now we have choice, and when we choose to live a holy life, there is a power with God that will enable us to overcome by His grace, by His strength. Yes, it's getting dark, but let's not lose our vision. I know there's a lot of heartache. Let's not lose our vision of truth. Let's not lose our vision of what it means to walk in humility and righteousness and holiness. Let's not succumb to a temptation to be self-righteous in this dark world, because we're not saved by our works. We're not saved because of what we do and what we don't do. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are saved by what He has done. But let's not lose our vision and let's hold on. Saints, let's keep holding on. Song says, I'll keep holding on to who? To Jesus. That's our hope this morning. I'm not going to let go. Lord, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right where you want me to stay, and I want to draw closer to you. Jesus is coming back, and it's dark, but until then, until He comes back, what's the song say? My heart shall keep on singing. What about in your life? You say, but it's so dark. You don't know what I'm going through. Oh, the Lord doesn't want us to hang our harps up on the willow trees. But until the Lord comes back, I want to keep on singing. And so the Lord says, comfort ye my people. Comfort ye my people. There is reason to be motivated to keep our vision and our eyes on Jesus Christ. Over in that same 40th chapter, and again, this had dual fulfillment, but there is a passage there in the 11th verse who's talking about the shepherd. It said, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." Isn't that beautiful? Think about all the expectant mothers and how there's a special promise given to them. To those that are with young, I'll gently lead them. Do you realize, and it's my understanding, that if you drive sheep hard, that they'll die. If you drive them too much, they can die. This scripture said he will gently lead them that are with young. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs. In other words, when they're moving and there are some that are just too weak to go with the herd, it's the shepherd that will pick them up and carry them. Comfort ye my people. That when you get weak and it feels like you can't go on anymore, there is a shepherd that will carry you. I would that you be comforted this morning, that when you feel like I just can't go anymore, that there's a shepherd that's going to carry you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you to the powers and forces of this world. But he's going to carry you and he's going to sustain you. And it is that same good shepherd that David spoke of in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When I have needs and I look around and it seems like there's all these problems, I want to remember I've still got a good shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The truths of the word of God, the doctrines of the scripture, the comfort, they give me comfort, they give hope, they give sustenance, and they give us the ability to keep going. That's a good shepherd. There's something else about the good shepherd. Comfort ye my people. You know what the good shepherd's out doing this morning? He's with us here this morning. But I'm thankful he can be in more than one place. You know where else he is today? He's out looking for the lost sheep. He's out looking for the one that has wandered away. That brings comfort to me. He can go where you can't go. He can reach people where you can't reach them because there's a good shepherd that is out looking for those that have lost their way. Comfort ye my people. David said over in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge in what? He's our strength, a present help in trouble. Therefore, he goes on to say, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and tremble. You know what mountains are symbolically? The kingdoms of this world, the politics. Some people listen to too much of what's going on in the political world, and they get so troubled. Well, guess what? Although the mountains fall into the sea, God is still our refuge. He says, although the waters roar, you know what waters are symbolically in the scripture many times? Waters are referenced to people. Although things around us are in turmoil and some people are doing this and you've got difficult people in your lives and it's zapping your energy, God is still our refuge and strength. And you move on down through that passage and he ended with, be still. And what? Know that I am God. Comfort ye my people. Folks, let's be still and know God is still God. Thank the Lord for that. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What about the needs that we have? When we get in those tight places, spiritually, but what about physically and financially? What are we going to do? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How are we going to make it? How are we going to make it? You remember what Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, the Lord knows you have need of these things. He said, the Lord knows you have need of all these things. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you know the Lord has a way of coming through for his people? He has a way of coming through. God will not forsake you. It may be a barrel of meal. It may be a cruse of oil. It may come from a few loaves and a few fishes. I don't know how God will do it this time. But folks, God has not forsaken his people. And he cares and he's interested in everything that's touching your life. And when we get to the place that it seems like that I've about taken as much as I can take, spiritually, physically, people, problems, the things of life. What are we going to do? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said, my grace is what? Sufficient. It means it's enough. You want to talk about comfort? He giveth more grace. His grace is sufficient for me. Thank the Lord, for my strength is made, for his strength is made perfect. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. His grace is sufficient this morning. His grace is sufficient. The needs that we have in life, and it seems like maybe this is really tough, there is a grace and a power with God that is sufficient to enable you to be what God wants you to be. There is this morning still power to live a holy life. There's still power. Do you believe that? Comfort ye my people. There's also times that the enemy will pester and pester and pester and will not leave you alone. There's another scripture that should bring some comfort and hope. He said, there hath no temptation taken you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Yeah, well, everybody else is dealing with it too. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also do what? Make a way to escape. And the Lord says, comfort ye my people. When the temptation seems strong and you're in the battle, the Lord will make a way for you to escape. In times of uncertainty, God has a plan. There's a passage, and I know that it's used so often at graduations and in times like that, but it's a place, it's a source of comfort, and that's found over in Jeremiah chapter 29. See, we're finding some comfort in the scripture this morning. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, for I know what? The thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Do you know that's God has a plan this morning? And we look at the uncertainties of life sometimes and it can be overwhelming. What do we do? Where do I work? Where do I live? Am I supposed to buy this or not? Am I supposed to move here, move there? Am I supposed to do this and have a problem with this situation here? What am I supposed to do? And I don't know. And it can be overwhelming. And yet the scripture says, and it's true, that God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The Lord knows where all of us are this morning, and God has a good plan. The Lord is not against you this morning, all right? Sometimes people start feeling like life is against me. Everybody's against me. Everything's going against me. The Lord is not against you this morning. He's got a plan for you, and he's got a plan for me. And although I don't know what tomorrow holds, I can say, Lord, I'm going to trust you today, and I'm going to go where you want me to today. But Lord, I don't know where the end. It seems like the walls are around me. I'm the enemy's all around. I don't feel like I can hardly move. And the Lord's saying, I've got a plan. I've got a plan. I haven't forsaken you. I've got a plan, and I'm going to bring you to an expected end if you'll stay submitted to my will. Comfort ye my people. And that brings us to close to the conclusion. In death, and when the Lord comes back, do you realize there's a place of comfort to know that he's got a prepared place for a prepared people. And he spoke over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, in the 4th chapter. He told us, he said, when people die, when they're asleep, that means when they die, he said, we don't weep as other people weep. It doesn't mean we don't weep. Jesus wept when Lazarus died. It says Jesus wept. So he mourned, but we don't mourn like the world does, that they has no hope. We have hope this morning of something better. So he said, for this I say in the 15th verse, 1 Thessalonians 4, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or those that are dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what he concluded with? Wherefore comfort one another with these words. In other words, now some people say, well, there's going to be a rapture of the righteous, and the unrighteous will be left here on earth. Not so. Jesus said that there would be a resurrection of the dead, from the just would go to heaven and eternal life, and the unjust to damnation. But who was he addressing in this passage in Thessalonians? He wasn't talking to the sinners here. He was not addressing the entirety of the resurrection. He was talking to the saints and saying, listen, don't mourn like the world mourns, because there's going to come a day when Jesus comes back that all the dead in Christ are going to rise, and those of us that remain are going to be caught up with him together in the air to forever be with the Lord. He was not addressing the unrighteous. That was a whole nother time to address them. So there's not a rapture where the saints will be raptured and there will be some left behind, as the world likes to talk about. No one's going to be left behind. We're all going to stand at the judgment seat of God. But this passage, he was saying, comfort the saints. Comfort the people of God. The Lord has a wonderful place prepared where there will be no more tears. There's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more separation. There's not going to be any more compromise. There's not going to be any more praying for lost souls. There's not going to be any more burdens. And there's going to be a wonderful quality of life. Said a couple weeks ago, there's a new heaven and a new earth. We're not spirits floating around. We're going to have a glorified body, and we're going to be living on a new earth and with a new aerial heavens. It's what the scripture says. It's a place that God has prepared for his people, and we call that together heaven. You see, it's a place God has prepared for us. So be comforted that this is temporary. This is temporary. The heartaches of life are temporary. So let's hold on this morning. Let's be comforted. In closing, 2 Corinthians 13:11, Paul, finally, brethren, farewell. I'm wrapping it up now. I've written my letter, 2 Corinthians, I've written my letter to you, and I'm concluding this letter. So he said, brethren, farewell. Be perfect and be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Be of good comfort this morning. Be of good cheer. The Lord has not forsaken his people. He's given us everything that we need to make it through this veil of sorrow to get us to the other side. Let's keep our hope. Let's keep our vision bright. Let's not hang our harps up. When we come, whether it's in our homes or whether it's when we come to service, whether there be two or three, I've been challenged more, Lord help us, when we come and there's just a few. Lord, we don't want to hang our harps up. We don't want to say, well, who's not here? Who is here? Thank you all for being here this morning. We have reason to give God thanks and praise that we can make it. So be of good cheer. Comfort ye my people. Amen.